to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
The mailbox is full.
Greetings, the automatically deleted husband. I know you've heard me say the last several days. I'll be quick. I'm going to strive to this day because I still have things to do tonight. I am at the edge. I did write a fairly intense email. What I did is try to do a quick summary and then details at the bottom. I intend to get that out tonight. Reason being is because a lot of the places I'm sending to are foreign lands. And I hope to get a response because soon, and you know, this would mean still it could happen on Friday, because I'm at the edge with shofar leaks. I'm at the edge with eating. I'm at the edge with rent and so forth, and I'm uncomfortable. And the whole idea of this is: do you want to be part of the project? Help fund the project? Or take it over. I have basically no other place to go. That's on the table. But just real quickly, I'm linking you a bunch of videos that are on Kozlansky.org because in a sense, a lot of this is the purpose of Shofar Leaks. One is there's this lady, she does a thing called Really Graceful. And she's artsy craftsy in her presentation, but a lot of her content is extremely good. And she did one, What Christians Aren't Taught About Zionism. And it's really good. It's really good. Because of the fact I've studied it, I could probably tell you, I don't know if I learned anything about it, but she encapsulates it so extremely well. And so I've got it there because I really think it's, Zionism is a problem, and she expresses it quite well. I did also, James Corbett did an excellent series on World War I, and what he did is he clipped out part of that, and I have that clip here. It's called Babies and Bayonets, because it describes how that idea was used in World War I, and, you know, fallacies. Fallacies, for the most part, I think they even said in that fallacies, a whole bunch of fallacies based on a little bit of truth. Hey, sounds like Sound of Freedom, doesn't it? You know, tiny little bit of truth and a whole bunch of fallacies built on top of it. You know, it is the same thing. Yeah, it's exactly the same thing. But because, again, that example is followed by the incubator babies of the 1991 or whatever it was, which again was done by a marketing company in front of the U.S. Congress and got us into the war. And then, of course, because I would guess most people, if you ask about the 40 beheaded babies, oh yeah, I heard about that. Isn't that terrible? They won't know that that's been debunked. But they heard about the 40 beheaded babies, and so that must be true, and therefore that's a problem. But I have two other videos, two from RT and two from Al Jazeera, so the polar opposites. But, you know, the irony is they are polar opposites, but when it comes to this issue with Israel, they're not quite. And what I find fascinating is Russia and Israel have in general a pretty good relationship. You know, you've seen Netanyahu and Putin, together laughing it up and so forth. You know, they've done the mutual visits and all those kind of things. So it's kind of like, it's an interesting tension because, there's a tension there because also, even though there's a reasonable relationship between Russia and Israel, Russia also very much backs Syria. And of course, Israel, for the past 2 years at least, if not more, has been lobbying missiles and, air strikes and whatnot into Syria. I mean, they've done it in the last couple of weeks, bombing the Aleppo airport, for example, the civilian airport. There's a bit of tension there. But we don't talk about that because we don't want to say anything bad about the country of Israel. It continues to happen. So there's that tension. Anyway, But there was an interview by this one guy who is well-placed. I think he's in the Knesset or something of that nature. Titled, Israeli Politician Has Meltdown Live on RT Discussing Gaza Hospital Strike. And one of the things you find, and I see the issue is how much has the culture within the Israeli community or the Zionist community simply morphed into this? If you're part of this community, you have to act this way. But you, if you look at the Zionist community, you'll find you say anything, they're on the attack. Constantly, you're a bad person. You're anti-Semite. You are disgusting. You've beheaded 40 babies. You know whatever it is, they come on the attack immediately. And this interview, you saw that intensely because this guy gets ridiculous. I will say when the report and you see that in the image, the reporter does his look at the watch kind of thing, because. Which I think was kind of, he was making a snarky comment. Well, unfortunately, I do the same. But anyway, I recognize that. But this guy, it's, if you say anything wrong about us, you're a bad person. There's another one. And this was a different person interviewing her, Caroline Glick. We awoke to this evil and are going and not going to sleep again. In that interview, she directly calls for the annihilation of the Palestinians. Not some of them, all of them. The quote, the only way we can get a peaceful resolution is if these people are annihilated because they are monsters and they are evil. And you cannot peacefully coexist on a planet on planet Earth with them. That is not somebody showing grace. And again, this is common in the Zionist community. It's a problem. And what really concerns me is apparently the because it was heard on the radio, and I've tried to have this verified, but the pastor here at First Baptist Church, which is a large church, and I know people who go there, apparently is, and again, it was announced on the radio, he's going to change his sermon schedule to do a sermon, I guess, this Sunday on why we need to support Israel. And when I heard that, I was disgusted. So for the first time, I went to their website. And, you know, it's kind of, yeah, I want to puke. It is the artsy, craftsy stuff, intense. Substance-wise, what I saw was pretty pathetic. Pretty to the eye. This is the movie theater stuff. Why go to a movie theater when I can go to church? And be just as entertained. That's what the institutional church has become, a place of entertainment. It is disgusting. Anyway, I'm really concerned, and I will make an effort to download, because apparently they do the videos and whatnot. It's, whoa! I think they're getting their training from Joel Osteen. I mean, wow. You know, the idea, I'm going to stop. Oh, boy, it angered me. Does it show? So I saw that. It concerned me. Now then let's go to Al Jazeera, the other side of the coin. I have two videos. One is, was the Gaza hospital attack caused by a failed rocket launch? And the other is Israel's changing narrative on the hospital bombing. They were well done. You know, and because what it reminds me of is, obviously from Al Jazeera, they were the ones that sponsored this company in the UK to gather all the cell phone cameras and whatever information they can get where Shireen Abdul Akhli was killed, compile it all together, and produce a 3D model of the event. And they could demonstrate, because, you know, tracing the, literally tracing the sound and so forth of the events, they could demonstrate it came, all the shots came from a single hole on a armored vehicle from the IDF. They could demonstrate that. Shireen Abdul Akhli was assassinated. I mean, that's clear. And we live in a day where you can take the evidence and show that. But the IDF did that. Oh, we'll investigate it, but we won't admit it. And it's been almost, a year and a half? Nothing will happen because you cannot. That's anti-Semitic! Anyway, it's because, again, the same technique was used. The technology wasn't as advanced, but the same technique was used in the case of the Maidan Revolution, because you can see where people were literally pushed together from opposite sides in order to get them as a group to be assassinated by a common set of snipers. Assassinate people on both sides to inflame the tension. The Maidan Revolution was staged in order to overthrow the government. The evidence is blatant, but we can't talk about that because we're called to support Ukraine and hate Russians. It was staged. And the reason you have to do that is because the people, the Russian people, are animals. The people in Donbass are animals, so we can kill them. The people in Palestine are animals, so we can kill them. It's the exact same thing. These two videos show what they did. A lot of things. They went and grabbed as much of the video information as possible to show the various ideas of whether or not, because there apparently were two fairly rational ideas. One was the Hamas was firing some missiles. One of the missiles was either shot out of the air and fell back, or failed in its launch and fell in the hospital. The other thing is, an Israeli dropped a bomb directly on the hospital. And as they compiled the information, it looks like an Israeli jet dropped a bomb directly in the hospital. And it is interesting to note, because it is mentioned, when you talk about bombs, for example, there's so much talk about the cluster munitions. Because cluster munitions and a single bomb missile have two different objectives. Because a cluster munition is where you have one vehicle delivering a whole bunch of little bomblets, and they go off, and they're predominantly anti-personnel. They're designed to kill people, because they don't have the explosive power. And sometimes they get to the ground and explode. Sometimes they get to the ground and wait there to explode, which you know is a problem. Whereas when you have a single warhead, the objective is you have some power there to make a serious explosion. And this is, for example, I have a building, I have a tank, you know, whatever, and I'm going to destroy it. And that's where, so bombs are different. There's also what is described here is the air burst. The objective there is that the bomb itself does not have a bunch of material, you know, so you have the bomb fragments. But it's designed to make a big, huge air pressure thing, so that air pressure causes the damage, and it's a different kind of damage. Obviously, it won't cause the same kind of damage to an armored vehicle, for example, but it could cause damage to, well, people, or, you know, things of that nature. The study of weapons is terrible. You know, anyway, you know, because one of the other things is used is the phosphor bombs, phosphorus. Because, and you can see this constantly. And they are considered they're banned. There's a UN agreement banning phosphorus weapons. A couple of countries don't subscribe to that agreement: Israel and the United States. Because what happens is the phosphorus, because you can see them. They're it's easy to distinguish them. They blow up, and you have this streams, white streams that flow off. These are the phosphor bombs. Phosphorus. And what happens is they are burning extremely hot. So when they land on something, they melt it, cause fires and things of that nature. When they land on people, they cause a really, really painful death. Think of something small getting on you, burning, and it's not like you can put it out. It's burning and burning and burning. Pouring water on it is not going to help. It feeds it. It's cruel. And who uses it constantly in Gaza? The IDF. But anyway, and you can, I think some of the thing, well, anyway. But apparently the evidence is pointing to, it was an Israeli jet dropping a bomb on the hospital. And, you know, the issue, because what I wasn't sure about yesterday, because I was wondering about the impact to the building versus the parking lot. And apparently, if it's with this airburst bomb, it's going to cause a different kind of damage. And apparently, there were a whole lot of cars blown up and so forth, or caught fire and whatnot and destroyed in the parking lot. But the 500 count, you know, I was wondering about that because it seemed like it may have been high. Apparently it's not. Apparently both sides, I think, are agreeing. It was about 500 people who died. That's a problem. That's a severe problem. I also found not only this one organization I mentioned yesterday, but apparently there's some affiliation with that hospital and the Episcopal Church too. So it's kind of like, you know, and again, oh, it's all those Muslims and the Episcopal Church and this other Christian group, whatever the name was. It's a problem. These things really concern me intently. And, you know, I'm going to stop. I'm really, because I was going to be quick. It's great. I am really concerned about the attitudes within the Christian community. Again, Christian Zionist is a non sequitur. Zionism is politics. It has nothing to do with theology. Zip. Nothing. You know, a lot of it will take, is it Genesis 15? Is that right? Oh, gee. Okay, 15, 18. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. And that is one of the verses that they take and say, oh, and if you look at the term greater Israel, you see the current political boundaries of Israel, which, again, are flexible, because obviously, like, the Golan Heights belongs to Syria. But it's been occupied by Israel. Is that since 67, I think? It's recognized by the UN and most everybody as it belongs to Syria. And Israel says, no, it's ours. And the U.S. says, oh, whatever Israel says. And of course, a lot of people have died over this issue. But you see that the current thing, you see how they are eliminating the Palestinians within their borders, walling off Gaza, walling off the West Bank, and then destroying homes. I mean, they go to people's homes and simply destroy them and say, you know, it's ours now. We're going to destroy what you have. It's constant. Where they build their settlements and whatnot. It's constant. But, you know, these are the Zionists. We can't say anything about them. But greater Israel is the idea here, which you see from the Nile to the Euphrates. So if you look at a map and see greater Israel, it's a whole lot bigger than the current country of Israel, and the Zionists are gunning for it, literally. That's why if you go back not too many years ago, there was the invasion of the Sinai Peninsula and, you know, the Six-Day War and all those kind of things that occurred, because Israel took that and it was given back to Egypt because it was a little bit uncomfortable. My guess is, let's say educated guess, as long as the Zionists have their power, they're going to get it back. They're going to get that back. They're going to get Jordan. Again, apparently Israel, or excuse me, the Temple Mount, as it's called, you know, the Al-Aqsa Mosque or the Dome on the Rock, whatever agreement is being administered by the country of Jordan, you know, the country next door. For whatever the politics that went on to set that, because there are tensions there. But Israel wants Jordan as its own, and of course, even into Iraq, where the River Euphrates is. They don't look at that and say, oh, that's our neighboring country. No, they look at that and say, that's ours. And it's kind of like, we won't talk about that right now. But you can look, you will find they have maps of greater Israel. That is their intent. And as they can eliminate the Palestinians within the current borders, and obviously they have the Golan Heights, so that's small. But you'll watch over time, unless they are stopped, they will incrementally grow. Because after all, that's what it's right there in Genesis 15. And the Christian Zionists say, well, of course, look, because they're the chosen people. No, they are not. Even as, what's his name? Mark Dice pointed out. No, they're not. The chosen people are the ekletos, the elect. Elect. What does that mean? To be chosen. I'm really concerned, obviously, of what's happening, because, you know, sooner or later, being 67, I'm closer to my day of death probably than my day of birth. But my kids aren't. The U.S. is collapsing. And my guess is one of two things is going to happen in the coming years. Israel will grow into the model of greater Israel, at least to a degree. And it's going to be a problem, or it's going to collapse. And with that collapse, Christian Zionism will collapse. Because, I'm sorry, the Jewish gentleman that I pointed to a few days ago, he's right. The Bible does not give them that land. Yeah, I won't go through that again. You want to see hate? Look at these two, Israeli politician and the one reporter. You know, the only way they can get a peaceful resolution is if these people are annihilated. In other words, the only way I can live at peace with you is if you are dead. That's what she's saying. But she's not a unique voice. And of course, what is the response? Oh, we need to collectivize and rally against them, get the right people in office and whatnot. No, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. If you're a Christian at a Christian church in the Gaza Strip, because they exist, and you see a woman like this saying, we want to annihilate you, your attitude in obedience to Christ, which is not going to be easy, is to bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. It's not easy. I need to get this email done. Describes the, right now it's titled An Appeal for Involvement or Even Taking Over the Shofar Leaks Project. I'm at the edge. I'm running out of everything, including food. I am late on rent. It is a bit on the embarrassing side. And I can't stop. Because in my email, one of the paragraphs, I said, this would have a very limited impact, but still have an impact on some. As the modern day slavery video asks, what if that is your daughter? I need to find somebody who says, you know, that could be my daughter. And I can see how you're striving to protect my daughter or somebody else's, because there's a whole lot of them out there. And we're not talking dozens. We're talking over a million. You know, it's the idea, oh, maybe we can protect one in a thousand. That's still a thousand. One in 10,000. Or even one. Because I can't go to that one. If all this helps is one person and frees them from being a sex slave, I can't go to that one person and say, I'm sorry. Nobody wanted to help me, so I gave up. Because you're not worth it. Because I've dealt with some of these people face to face. I can't stop. Enough. My lady, my wife, I'm still here. I love you no much about.